so I want to start off this morning asking a question, and we're gonna I'm gonna ask a question. Hey, Marie. Let's see if it seems like that. Ask a question. I'm gonna kind of cover a couple things, and we're gonna come back. And if you have anything to discuss about this question, then we're gonna discuss a little bit. The question is: when we're worshiping, when we're offering to God, when you're making a sacrifice to God, is giving something better than nothing? Is giving just a little bit better than nothing? And think about that in relation to where your heart is, too. You know, where is your heart as you're giving your sacrifice or your offering? Okay, so be thinking about that. This book, let me back up a little bit. Sometimes, let's say you come across a young fella, okay, and this young person is very disrespectful. You know, he doesn't respect authority, always looking to get into trouble. You know, he's just a lot to handle, okay? Sometimes we say that young person could use a good whooping, a good kick in the pants, right? I'll tell you, this book, for me, is a kick in the pants. It's exactly what I need to hear. And this chapter that we're discussing that Dave started last week, this chapter 5 is called Serving Leftovers to a Holy God, is the hardest for me to take in of anything we've discussed in this book so far. This is kind of the hardest, and so we're going to discuss some of these things this morning. But that's kind of what this is for me, is a kick in the pants, and it's not a bad thing, right? If that young person were to get a kick in the pants and maybe learn some respect, then, you know, that would be a good thing for that person, right? It's not bad sometimes when we just need a good whooping. That's good for us. Dave last week, you know, he mentioned that I would be starting off. Who was here last week? Quite a few of you? No. So what?
Justin's wedding.
Yeah, Justin's wedding. All right. Justin got married last week. Same break.
They made
it
back safe.
They did? You picked them up? Okay. What's that?
Sorry.
That's okay. You know, he mentioned that I would start off this week by. And I love the recording, too. I can go back and listen. This is great. But you mentioned that I would start off this week by going into how rich we really are, how wealthy we are. And he said that there are some statistics that he gives in the book, and there are, about how rich we are compared to other people in the world. And, you know, we've talked about that before. We talked about that in our finance class that we were doing a while back. And I think even Rich... maybe a couple weeks ago or in the last few weeks, made a comment about, you know, how rich we are in comparison to a lot of other people in the world. So I don't want to spend too much time on that and give a lot of statistics and that kind of thing, but because I think we all realize, you know, compared to other people in the world, we are very wealthy and we are rich. And the main point that he brings up about that is that, you know, how many of us actually... we think about, you know, okay, I need God to provide for my next meal, you know? Or do we just go and get our next meal? You know, there are some people in the world that are needy. You know, they are so poor that, you know, they rely on God so much that even their next meal, they're thankful, they're grateful. They have that need and they're so grateful just to get their next meal. Know, whereas for us, it's just, we just eat a meal. And, you know, we don't have that same gratefulness, that same thankfulness to God. And I think the main point is, you know, how much harder is it to really have a close relationship with God if we are so comfortable, you know, and if we do have so many things in terms of the world, and that we just take for granted. We don't have that gratitude that we should have for the things that God provides for us. I mean, yes, we have gratitude, but, you know, it seems like it could be to a whole new level. And that's kind of where he was going in the book as far as that goes. But I wanted to kind of lead up to the next thing. Let's talk about that question I was asking a few minutes ago. Is something better than nothing? When you're offering a sacrifice to God, you're offering anything. Jared, you're shaking your head.
Yeah. It's not good.
Not good.
It's like being lukewarm. It's like saying anything, you know, not, it's not the first of the fruits. I mean, there's a lot of different examples we've seen through sacrifices and stuff, but it's one of the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And it was first of the first. It was, you know, the something that means something to you greatly, mm-hmm. and you have to get that away to God. It wasn't just something, you know, it's lukewarm if you just give something to give. Even whether you not give it all, and be on that side, and then you get just a little.
Yeah.
Of something that you don't really care about. It's like me giving up TV. I'm like, whatever. That ain't no big deal. To give up something, you know, more like food for a week, that would be pretty intense.
It would.
That would be pretty skinny.
Yeah.
It's like discipline
in
a child. You know, if you're taking away something from a child and he's got 50 action figures that he loves, and you say, okay, I'm taking this one. Mm-hmm. But I'm taking this, you know, okay, thank you. You know, it's, and we're the same way, and I think God knows your heart. If it is a sacrifice, he knows it is a sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice, he knows, you know, so basically it's strictly between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it may be a tiny amount. It may be a dollar, but it may be your only dollar. So he knows, you know, so if you're coming in there, you have 100 and you just give one, he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a very personal, I think, thing.
It is personal. I think it depends on where your heart is, too. I think mm-hmm. that makes a big difference. Anybody else?
I was thinking of the scripture in the Old Testament where the Lord says, I don't need your sacrifice.
Yes, so we're about to go there.
Yeah. The reason for that was because it had just gotten to be a ritual. It really didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they weren't following his laws as he really wanted. So he says, I've done your sacrifices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a Malachi.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
No, not yet.
Yeah, okay. Malachi chapter 1. Let's go ahead and turn there. Malachi chapter 1. He gives a couple of examples in the book. You know, let's say you get home and you're tired and you finally go to bed, and right before you go to bed, you kind of mumble a little 2-minute prayer under your breath, kind of thing, before you're falling asleep. You know, is that really what God's looking for? Is that kind of the kind of devotion that God's looking for, that you offer Him that? Now, it could be that you've had a conversation with God all day, you know, and you've been, like the Bible says, pray without ceasing, and you've been praying to God, and you have a good relationship, and you've been, you know, and you've been doing that all day. And if it comes nighttime and you still do a 2-minute prayer as you're sleeping, well, you know, that's different. But what if that's all that we're doing? I've been guilty of that before. You know, and does God even want that? Well, let's talk about that. Malachi chapter 1. Let's look at verses 6. Starting verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled blood or defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the temple of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, apparently they were offering blind animals as a sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. They were offering, they were giving sacrifices, you know, and they were probably thinking, well, we're doing okay, and we're acceptable, we're being pleasing to God, because at least we're giving, we're making an offering, we're giving the sacrifice. The sacrifice was not good. Like Jared was saying, you know, they weren't offering the best. They weren't offering anything that meant anything to them. They were just giving them, you know, hey, we'll give you the blind lamb. We'll give you the lamb that has, you know, problems. You know, the lame one, two legs, you know, whatever. And these sacrifices were not acceptable. You know, the Old Testament gives, we have the Old Testament that we can learn from the examples of those in the Old Testament. I think this is a great example that we can learn from. God wants the best. He deserves the best. He expects us to give Him the best. You know, it's been like that from the very beginning. Adam and Eve's sons, who were they? Cain and Abel. They were going to offer, right? Yeah. They were going to offer a sacrifice. And one sacrifice was acceptable, and one sacrifice was not. One sacrifice was pleasing and one was not. You know, from the very beginning, there have been offerings made to God that have been pleasing and some are not pleasing. Let's continue. Let's look a couple more verses down. Verse 10 says, "Who is there even among you who would shut the doors?" I assume shut the doors of the temple. "That you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands." He says, just shut the doors. You know, with somebody to shut the doors. I would rather have no offering than this. I'd rather have nothing than what you're giving me here. And he makes a little comment in the book. He says, you know, I wonder how many churches God would like the door shut. No, nowadays. I think this hits me because I think for a long time he calls them leftovers, you know. You put in your life, you have in your life the things that you want to have in your life, and then you kind of give God the leftovers. You know, you have in your life whatever you want to do during the day, and then you offer that little 3-minute prayer under your breath, and you know, you're falling asleep, you know, that's leftovers. You know, it's easy to take your eyes off of Scripture and compare yourself with others, like we've said before, you know, in the class. You compare yourself and say, well, I'm at least doing more than, you know, such and such over here. So, you know, that makes me feel better about myself, and I'm offering more to God. But is that what God wants? God wants your best. He don't want you to compare yourself to others. It's not like, you know, I'm throwing a bone out there, and my bone has more meat on it than, say, this person's bone that he's throwing to God. And since my bone has more meat, well, I feel good about myself. No. God wants the best. He doesn't want us to compare ourselves to others. There's a verse that we've mentioned before, too. It's in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, and then they forgot me." God's given us so much. Have we taken what He's given us and become proud, and we've become satisfied, and it's possible that we forget God?
You know, it's interesting, though, is that they were sacrificing stuff that they didn't want. It wasn't just that they weren't giving the best. Because you can have a calf or a cow or some animal that was the best, and then you have stuff that's not the best, but there's nothing wrong with it. You know, they had to have had middle of the road animals. Mm-hmm. They weren't even giving those. They were using the sacrifice as an excuse to get rid of animals they didn't want. That's worse than anything. Because mm-hmm. it's like the sacrificing no longer meant anything to them. Mm-hmm. It was just some ritual, let's use it to get rid of animals that we don't want. At all. They weren't even giving middle of the road animals. It was just like a trash pile to them. They were just throwing their trash out. Mm-hmm. In verse 14, he implies that they were vowing better animals and then giving the worst ones after they had vowed their best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these they were sinking to all new lows here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just particularly striking that they were using the sacrifices to get rid of animals they didn't want. I mean, they were giving God, they were only giving God stuff that they wanted to get rid of. You know, because, I mean, at that point, that whole sacrifice for sins, I mean, that literally meant nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
It meant less than nothing. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Thanks for bringing it up. Why were they doing that? Why would they do that?
Why would they get rid of the animals?
Why would
they
abuse the sacrifice system? They knew what it was. Why would they not?
Because they thought they were, they must have thought they were being acceptable. They must have thought at least they were making a sacrifice. They were just trying to get by with the minimum that they could.
I think the point may be that their opinion of God was not what it should be. They did not have a respect for the being they were sacrificing to. It wasn't the stuff. God didn't really need the sacrifice. It was their opinion of God. He was just like any other God. He was just like all these, I guess. Their belief in God, they may have believed in a God in name, but their opinion of God was so little. But they, you know, I think that was the core of the lack of sacrificing to God. They did not recognize Him for what He was.
Can that be true of us?
Sure.
I think that happens a lot.
I read Revelation a whole bunch. I like Revelation. Because it shows the awesomeness of God. I think we lose that. I think that we get used to coming to a worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And we worship. But I still don't think that a lot of times in that worship, it really clicks that God is in our presence. If you go to Revelation in the first and second chapter, I think it is, and they talk about the throne scene,
mm-hmm.
and how they reacted in a worship service. I mean, if we could, and it's hard to do, but if we could actually picture Him and His holiness and how He actually is, then we would be like those that were worshiping Him in heaven. We've been on our faces on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get that picture when we worship a lot of times. The reverence that we should show. And what David said, I was sitting over thinking, if you said it better than I would have. They not only did not understand who they were worshiping, I don't think they were worshiping with their hearts. We talked about that a few minutes ago. I mean, I don't know, as I get older and the more I read and the more I study, and I can see in my life where I miss out. You know, and I want to be closer to Him. I think that, excuse me, you know, He picked David because of his heart. He could see right into his heart. If you read the letters to the churches, you were asking a question a minute ago, what would he say about this church? Well, if you read those letters, there's only one church that he didn't have something bad to say about it. And they thought that they were just fine. So, I don't know. I try to tell myself when I go to worship that I am going to worship that God that I see in Revelation. And I don't mean I always do it because my mind can wander and stuff like that. But I think if we sit there with that attitude, that it would change things. I just do.
Mm-hmm. That's actually what we've been talking about the first several chapters of the book. He spends talking about who God is. As much as we can understand about God and who God is and how awesome God is and how amazing He is. And did we end up showing the little clip? Did they show the clip when he was teaching one time about the universe and how it kept panning out and panning out? You know, how
how huge it is and how awesome God is. And then it zooms in, yeah, on the little guy on the beach. Right? Okay.
I mean, that I've seen before.
Yeah. How awesome God is and how small we are, you know, and what our response should be because God is so awesome, you know, because despite being as incredible as he is, he still loved us enough to do what he does for us, despite us being so weak and so small. You know, our response to God should be one of reverence, one of, you know, we're going to come to God and worship the God that we see in Revelation, worship the God that we see in the Bible, and we need to keep that in mind, like you're saying. It's very important. Otherwise, we just lose track. And like Papa was saying, you know, the reason they were doing this is because they lost track of who God is. You know, they didn't keep in mind who it was they were sacrificing to, and therefore they just started sacrificing whatever. What are their sacrifices? Let's see. Verse 8, Malachi chapter 1. What does he call that? It says, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, when you offer the lame and the sick, he says what? Is it not? What?
Wrong.
Wrong?
That says evil.
Evil. Wrong. Is it not wrong? Is it not evil? It's evil. It's not just, you know, it's not just bad. It's evil. God doesn't want that type of sacrifice. So to answer our question, I mean, I guess we'll go back to that. Is something better than nothing? No. God wants your best, or he doesn't want it. He deserves our best. And like Don said, it all depends on where your heart is. You know. Trying to get away with. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to talk about some of the things that Jimmy was just mentioning. Revelation chapter 3, and this is that where we're getting the whole idea. This is where we get a lot of the idea of being lukewarm. He's talking to the church in Laodicea, and verse 15, what does it say in verse 15, the very first phrase? First phrase, verse 15, says what? I know your deeds. I know your works. So the church in Laodicea, they were still doing works. They were still doing deeds. But just like we were talking about a few minutes ago in Malachi, you know, some of their sacrifices in Malachi, or their sacrifices were not acceptable. Here, they're doing deeds. They're doing works. But they're neither hot nor cold. They're just lukewarm. Their hearts are lukewarm. They're not doing it out of a zealous heart that is on fire for God. They're just lukewarm. They're doing these. Do we ever do that? We ever just go through the motion and we're doing the deeds, we're doing the works, but our hearts aren't there. Our hearts aren't on fire. We're just doing the deeds, just because.
I've been thinking about that a whole lot because I come in contact with a lot of people that are not in any church or not religious in any way. Does our heart ache for those people? I don't know. It's been hitting me hard lately. Everybody knows I go down to JLB's and the people I meet down there. I get to thinking, where are they going when they die? Well, I know where they're going. And am I really concerned about that? Do I pray for these people? Do I try to reach these people? How do I reach these people? I mean, that's kind of been a laid a burden on my heart recently. I've had two people that I knew recently that died. Just one guy ate breakfast with him in the morning. And they found him dead in his apartment. And I'm thinking, did you do enough to reach this guy? Could you have reached this guy? I don't think that our hearts are on fire for people. If they were, we'd be out there doing something. And I'm talking about myself as well as everybody else. I don't know. It's just, I see those guys down there and girls and all, and you know, it's getting to me lately because they're lost. And what am I doing about it? You know, could I have reached that guy, you know, at breakfast with? Maybe, maybe not, I don't know, but did I try? Not really. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. Yeah, and they're out doing works. So, but they don't have that zeal you were talking about. They don't have that fire. It's like we go through life, we just don't worry about anybody that's lost. All right, I should have hung out.
Jimmy, sometimes you have to be lost before you can be found.
Oh, yeah, and I agree with that, but that's them. I'm talking about me. What am I doing to reach those people? Because they're lost. Right. Yeah, it's just kind of hit me hard because I've lost a couple of people there. I mean, I don't know that much about them, but I'm pretty sure Bill, he won't go to hell.
You know, me and I went to a funeral this last week with one of my best friend's dads, and he was older and everything. And my kids are real good friends with his grandkids, and I don't think he had ever been saved, or I may be wrong, but I sure don't think so. And we were driving home, and one of the questions my kids asked was, well, is he going to heaven? And I said, of course, it played through my mind the whole time I'm at the funeral is, you know, they didn't bring up anything about, you know, what a devout Christian, what about this. He was a good man. I mean, there was no doubt he was a sweet, kind, good man. But having to explain that to a 9 and 10-year-old, you know, and I said, you know, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm not here to judge him. I don't know 100%, but let me tell you what I do know. And you could have heard a pin drop. They were just, I said, you know, it's very sad. It's very, very sad. But, Mama, he gave us this, and he helped us that, and he was so sweet, and he was their granddaddy, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, so we went home, and we read about, you know, good people don't necessarily mean, you know, and it was a huge, they were so quiet for so long thinking, and it was such a teachable moment, you know, for them. But, you know, my heart broke, you know, for that 81-year-old man, you know, that was a good man. But, you know, it's just like you. I'm thinking, what did I do? Did I even say one time, why don't y'all, you know, come with us to church or come do this or come anything, you know? I never made the first, you know, move towards that. So, yeah, I drove home thinking the same thing as you. I'm somewhat, you know, would it have worked? I don't know. Kind of doubt it, but didn't try.
We were talking about this concept of being lukewarm, versus being on fire for God, and the teens, a couple weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago, they were on their retreat, or their camp or whatever, went to Horn Beach, Tennessee, where, and I was able to go up there just for a couple days, and I'm so thankful that I was able to go for a lot of reasons, but one reason was that they had an awesome lesson one of the evenings. The theme of the whole camp was light the fire, and it was a really good thing, but I've got the thing right here still, but actually I've got the notes of that lesson right here, but okay, well what he said was, he was comparing, you know, he was talking about a fire, and you know, we need to be on fire, right? We don't need to be lukewarm, we don't need to be, you know, we would prefer us to either be cold or hot, you know, so we would like to be hot, right? But we can't always be on fire, can't, like, on fire, just like, oh, you know, like, all the time, just, if we're on fire all the time, what can happen?
Burn out.
You can burn out, and it's true. And he used the analogy or the, what's the word? Object. It was like an object type lesson, and he had a little box, a little metal box, and he had somebody put some coal in there, some charcoal, like you put in the grill, and he had them put some lighter fluid on it and lit it on fire. And of course, after a few minutes, what happens? The lighter fluid burns off, and then you put more lighter fluid on it, light it again, it catches on fire. You do that a few times, and eventually that coal gets hot enough to where it sustains itself. It's on fire then, you know, and when all the coals are together, and you think of the coals as us, you know, members of the church, and we're all together. When we're all together, we stay on fire easier, you know. But if you pull one of us out, we might be on fire for a few minutes, but eventually the flame goes out. But you know what? That coal is still hot, and it will be hot for a long time. And that, you know, if you were to put a match, and he did this several times throughout the lesson, you know, even when that coal, he had some tongs, and he was holding the coal for almost the whole lesson. You know, he's long-winded. He's talking up there for him. No, but sometimes he put that match up to the coal, and it's still hot. It would still catch that match on fire. You know, and so we can't be on fire all the time. We would just burn out. But we can, through study of God's word, we can stay hot. We can stay hot as individuals. I just thought that was a really, really good object lesson. You know, because sometimes we just think, okay, I got to be on fire. I got to be on fire. It's like draining almost, you know, to think. Because you can't be on fire all the time. I mean, sometimes you're going to be tired, but at least you can still be hot. In your heart, you're still hot to where that fire can easily just be lit again. And then you're on fire for a little while, but then you might just stay hot. The goal is to not get cold. To be separated for so long from the rest of the body that you just get cold. And I just wanted to share that with you, Jimmy, when he was talking a few minutes ago, just reminded me of that. I thought that was a really good lesson. And it is 10 o'clock, and I did not get where I wanted to. That's okay, though. When do we ever get as far as we want to? Okay, that's all right.
He said the same thing at the church at Ephesus. He just said it in a different way. You've lost your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
Yeah. Okay. I really want to keep going, but we'll.
I think we have a lesson today.
Okay. Are you preaching?
Yeah, he's preaching.
I've got more material. We'll finish up chapter 5 next week. I doubt we'll get into chapter 6. So next week might be a little bit shorter of a class. We might get into chapter 6. We'll see. So I probably got another 20 minutes. So we'll see.
Yeah.